You are listening to the weekly sermon from the Canton United Methodist Church in Canton, South Dakota. We're a church that strives to make disciples of Jesus Christ who make a difference. To learn more, visit us at cantonsdumc.org. And now, here's Pastor Clay.
Our scripture this morning comes to us from Psalm 23, as we've talked about already, and I'm reading this morning from the Good News Translation. You can follow along in your pew Bibles on page 607 of the Old Testament. Thank you, Sophia. Or you can follow along with the screen this morning as we hear this story, or as we hear this famous reading from the book of Psalms. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He lets me rest in fields of green grass and leads me to quiet pools of fresh water. He gives me new strength. He guides me in right paths as he has promised. Even though I go through the deepest darkness, I will not be afraid, O Lord, for you are with me. Your shepherd's rod and staff protect me. You prepare a banquet for me where my enemies can all see me. You welcome me as an honored guest and fill my cup to the brim. I know that your goodness and love will be with me all of my life, and your house will be my home as long as I live." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be holy and acceptable to you. For you, O God, are our rock, and you are our Redeemer. And we give you thanks for who you are as we say together, Amen. So I have had the honor in life of sitting at some pretty cool tables, of being with some really, really awesome people. I've had dinners with beloved friends and treasured family and perfect strangers. And some of those tables have been awfully comfortable to be at because I have been with people that love me a lot. I have two friends named Pastor Peggy and Pastor Teresa, and we will go to Mitchell, South Dakota, to El Colapino every now and then for mango shrimp tacos. That's the only reason why we go, is to be together and to eat mango shrimp tacos. I highly, highly recommend the mango shrimp tacos. We may have some plans coming up to go to Mitchell just to see each other and have these tacos. I also have the honor of almost every single night having supper with my family around the table where we share our highs and our lows, the best part and the bad part of our day. I love being together with people around the table. But sometimes these encounters can be awkward and uncomfortable. There was an incident in annual conference a few years ago, the year that I was commissioned as a provisional elder. I was at a luncheon, and the only other people at my table were this married couple that decided to spend the entire meal speaking to one another in perfect French. I don't speak French, so I sat there quietly, awkwardly, with two people carrying on whatever they wanted to talk about. I'm hoping it wasn't me, but that's where my brain goes. Perfect French. Other tables, however, that I've been at have been downright scary. Part of the reality of who I am is that I get intimidated by other people pretty easily, and so I distinctly remember my very first day of seminary. I was a brand new seminary student. I was at an orientation luncheon, and I was at a table with some people I'd just met, and there was an open spot right next to me. And then president of the seminary, Dr. Mike Hagan, noticed that there was an open spot next to me. And I remember very distinctly my words of prayer, which were, "Dear God, no! Dear God, I don't care if you have to manifest a chair out of nowhere. Don't let Dr. Hagan sit next to me. He's the president and I'm scared." The next thing I know, Dr. Mike Hagan is sitting next to me. And he reaches out to me and says, "Hi, my name's Mike. What's your name?" Come to find out that Dr. Michael Hagan is one of the nicest people you could ever hope to meet, and he is still to this day a very dear friend of mine. In Psalm 23, David evokes several images for the various ways that God has been with him, the various ways that God is present with him, and not only just him, the ways that God is present with all of God's people. David begins by calling God the Good Shepherd, by proclaiming that God is the one that leads and guides him along life's journey. David talks about how God is present with him in the midst of the darkest valleys and at his scariest tables. In verse 5, David reveals that it is God who has prepared a banquet for David. And this banquet is at this lush table, this lavish table. But the catch is that this had to have been the most terrifying table, more terrifying than my table at seminary, because we learn that David's enemies are where he can see them. David's enemies are where they can be seen. Yet here are the words that David says. You prepare a banquet for me where all my enemies can see me. You welcome me as an honored guest and fill my cup to the brim. According to David, God takes on this traditional role of a host as God anoints David's head, which was a customary act of hospitality in David's day and age. And it also becomes clear from the welcome that David receives and the abundance that is set before him that God intends for David to be there for quite a while and for David to be comfortable throughout this entire experience. But David being comfortable would have been a pretty high bar to meet, because as we know from previous weeks of studying the book of Psalms, as we know from David's life, David's enemies would have constituted a pretty large gathering. When you factor in the description of David's physical appearance, which we are told in 1 Samuel 16, where we learn that David is ruddy and handsome, that brings a layer of jealousy. And when you add in his success and the clear blessing of God upon his life, that adds another layer of jealousy. And there are many enemies that David could have been dining with in this moment. It could have been Saul, the king that he replaced. It could have been his wife, Michal, who was the daughter of Saul. They didn't get along very well. It could have been his own brothers. It could have been his own son. It could have been any of the friends of Goliath or any of the friends of Bathsheba or Uriah or any other leader of a rival nation during David's reign. We're not exactly told who all is present at this table. But we know that David would have been justified in being ill at ease. And more than that, David would have been justified in being downright terrified. Because unlike Dr. Mike Hagen from Sioux Falls Seminary, I don't think that David's enemies would have been the kindest people you would ever hope to meet. Yet as we hear David's words in Psalm 23, do we hear any apprehension? Do we hear any dissatisfaction? Do we hear any fear? No. No, we don't. And the question becomes, why? I would be terrified. Why isn't David scared? How can David, who has so many things going on in his life, have this sense of supreme confidence? In the midst of the exhaustion of having to travel unknown roads and traverse the darkest valleys and be at a table full of his enemies, David seems to have this remarkable peace and this unspeakable contentment. And really, the answer as to why is no big secret. David's source of peace, David's sense of confidence, David's contentment comes from a source that he names at the very start of the psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. The Lord is the one who has promised to walk through the darkest darkness with David and, by the way, all of us. It is the Lord who is the gracious host who anoints our head and arranges a bountiful feast. It is God that fills our cups to overflowing. David's supreme confidence and David's supreme trust comes from God. David's supreme confidence comes from his supreme trust in God's provisions. So the question becomes, how would you respond if you were in David's position? And really the question is, how have you responded when you've been in David's position? Because the reality is that life hasn't changed all that much since David wrote these words. There is a reason why this psalm is so beloved by so many people. It is easy for us to find ourselves in the words. We know what it's like to need a shepherd. We know what it means to not know what our next step is. We are well acquainted with our darkest valleys. And maybe we even know what it is like to be at the table of our enemies. And so who's at that table with you? Is the table full of scary people like Dr. Michael Hagen? Is it full of people who have wronged you? And maybe even in ways that feel unforgivable? Or is it something else entirely? Hebrew scholar Pamela Greenberg translates Psalm 23, verse 5 this way, "You spread a table before me in the face of my greatest fears." So maybe that table isn't full of people at all, but rather our past harms and the scars in our mind. Maybe at the table is our pain that we've experienced at the hands of others. Maybe at the table are those rational or irrational fears that we have carried, or just our general unease about the general state of the world because it's a little messy out there. But no matter who or what is at the table with you, hear the good news. The source of peace and the source of confidence and the source of contentment to which David testifies has not changed. The source hasn't changed. Just as the Lord has been David's source, so too is the Lord your source. And just as David can say with confidence that he will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as his life is, we can have that same proclamation. And as just as David is content at the table, so too can we be. Because the promises of God made known in Psalm 23 are the same promises that have been further illustrated, the same promises that have been validated by Jesus Christ himself. It is Jesus who is the great shepherd who directs the disciples in the way that they should go. It is Jesus who teaches crowds about what it means to live in the kingdom of God. It is Jesus who gives rest to the weary and protects the vulnerable from the injustices of the world. It is Jesus who heals the sick and anoints the eyes of the blind with life-changing mud. It is Jesus who extends hospitality at a table with his own literal enemies. A disciple that will betray him into the hands of those who will end his life. These are the promises of God that have been confirmed by the person of Jesus. So the question for us becomes this: can we trust with the same level of conviction as David did? Can it be that we have this supreme sense of confidence that comes from our supreme trust? No matter who is at the table with us, whether it be someone who is familiar or someone who is friendly or someone who is a stranger, we can rest secure in these promises of God during this season of Lent and beyond. May it be that our supreme confidence in God's promises comes from our supreme trust. Would you pray with me? Loving God, we just give you thanks for the tables that we found ourselves at. We give you thanks for the way that you have made yourself known in those moments. We give you thanks for just peace that doesn't make sense when life is crazy. We give you thanks for confidence that doesn't make sense when we feel absolutely gutted inside. We thank you for your abiding presence when we feel abandoned or forsaken or alone. We thank you for promises that always hold true in a world where so many things are broken. As we seek you, let us find you. And let us draw our confidence, let us draw some sense of security from you. You are our hope and our stay. And we give you thanks for who you are. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon from the Canton United Methodist Church. Join us in person or online at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning for worship. And now go in peace and serve the Lord.
I want to encourage you after the message to head over to our YouTube channel and click the subscribe button. Over on YouTube, you will find videos of our entire worship service, a video cast of our weekly Cut for Time conversation with Pastor Clay and Eric, songs from our praise band One Way Up, and a bunch of other great things as well. Just search for Canton United Methodist Church. It would mean a lot to have you subscribe.